When I was little, my dad brought this home for me. He said he'd found this tiny gnome on a grass verge, and like all good gnomes, it was looking for a garden to live in. My husband has just pointed out to me that Dad may actually have bought said gnome from a shop, because not many gnomes sit on grass verges looking for homes. But wherever it came from, I was pretty unimpressed at the time. Who needs a tiny blue gnome? But then I was shown how upside down it's not just a gnome, it's a hedgehog. And that was such a hit that I still have him 25 years later. Turning things upside down, seeing things differently, can change everything. And I don't know about you, but this year Easter feels pretty upside down to me. The resurrection message is still the same, but without the church celebrations, the family meals, the bank holiday with friends, I'm seeing things differently. And I'm reading the Easter story in the Bible differently too. Tonight, we're going to zoom in on the experience of one person that first Easter day, Mary Magdalene. And with the help of some other hedgehogs, these guys in the old road safety adverts, we're going to see how Jesus leads Mary and us to look, listen, and live, even on an upside-down Easter day. So, who was Mary Magdalene? Mary was a Jewish woman from a fishing town on the shore of Galilee. The Bible tells us that Jesus cast seven demons out of her and healed. She joined his followers. On Good Friday, she stayed at the foot of the cross until Jesus died. And after the Sabbath's rest, she's first to go to the tomb. So we'll pick up the story in John chapter 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." The story continues as Peter and John run to the tomb and find only the grave clothes left behind. They see, believe, and return home, but Mary's response is quite different. Let's read on from John chapter 20, verse 11. Now Mary stood at the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The first thing Mary does is go looking. She arrives at the tomb while it was still dark. She weeps in doubt and unbelief that morning light just hasn't penetrated yet. And she doesn't even react to meeting angels. In anguish, all she tells them is, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." This upside-down Easter, do you feel like Mary, searching in the dark, as if this pandemic's robbed your God from the world he loves? Perhaps your cry of prayer tonight is like Mary's, "Where is my Jesus?" whilst his world suffers. "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." We read that Mary, in turmoil, turns and turns and turns. If you sit and go through John chapter 20 with a highlighter, you'll see the movement. She turns to the tomb, turns to Peter and John, turns to the angels, turns to encounter a stranger, turns at the sound of a voice. When we're looking for Jesus, we too can turn and turn and turn. Can I find him in the Bible? Is he in the words of my friends? Does he hear me when I pray? I don't know where they put him. That Mary turns and turns and turns is not insignificant. It involves the possibility of seeing things differently. I don't believe that Jesus somehow dressed up to hide and withhold himself from Mary that resurrection morning. But if she was going to even begin to grasp the miracle of resurrection, she was going to have to see things differently, with eyes of faith. Having faith leads Christians on a journey of surrendering some of our usual demands for evidence. So we might not physically be seeing the risen Jesus enter the homes of the isolated or the hospitals of our nation this weekend. But because of the resurrection, we can trust he is there with the exhausted and the fearful, the sick and the dying. He is there. Many years before Mary's encounter, God made a promise that's recorded in the Old Testament. This promise stood true for Mary in all her looking, and it stands true for you today. Jeremiah 29:13. God says, when you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. So look, because God promises to reveal himself to all who search for him. So what next for Mary Magdalene that resurrection morning? She's looked, now she listens. On her search for Jesus' body, Mary encountered a stranger she supposed to be the gardener. But we read from John 20:16, Jesus said to her, Mary. Having turned over and over again, the best turning point comes when Mary listens and hears her own name from a familiar voice. Can you identify with that? When someone phones and you just know their voice. For Mary, it was the voice that had commanded demons to leave her, had healed her, taught her. It was the voice of Jesus. He's the good shepherd, and the Bible tells us that his sheep do know his voice. Listening to her name, Mary recognizes God again, and in him she finds herself. He doesn't call her woman anymore, like the angels did, but he calls her by name. Mary is known and she is loved, and nothing the world throws at her can change that. God does not come to humanity in the abstract, writes Rowan Williams. He is all about personal encounters, not just for Mary, but also for you. God calls you by name tonight, and in that call is all the affirmation, whoever you are, wherever you've been, that you are known and you are loved. Perhaps watching these online services these past few weeks has been the first time that you've heard how God is for you and not against you. As Christians, we believe that Jesus died so that nothing need ever separate you from the love of God. His call requires a response, though, and there's no better day than today for you to pray to him. You don't need to use fancy words to pray. Just be honest. And if you would like to answer God's call for the first time, you might like to pray along with me something like this. Jesus, I thank you that you call me by name. I'm sorry for the things I've done that have separated us. But now I accept your love and forgiveness. And I want to let you change my life So I live with you as my friend, my saviour, and my king. If you're praying something like that for the first time this evening, we'd love to hear from you. So do drop us a message and we'll help you to get to know Jesus more. For those of you who've walked with Jesus many years, though, let Mary's Easter encounter remind you that he loves you just as much as he did that first time he called your name. He's seen you serving your neighbours, speaking his peace to the fearful this week. He sees you teaching your children at home, protecting your friends, and he delights in you, his child. If doubts and worries are creeping in, listen to this promise from the Old Testament, Isaiah 43, verse 1. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Listen to the God of personal encounters who says to you this Easter day, you have nothing to fear, for you are loved and you are called by name to the one in whom you find the real you. Mary's looked and she's listened. And now she is going to live a resurrection life. We read in John 20, 17 that Jesus says to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them. I wonder if you've seen some of these jokes flying around online, but that verse where Jesus says, don't hold on to me or don't touch me, actually proves this year isn't the first socially distanced Easter. There are loads of ways to interpret John 20, 17, but my favourite comes from Don Carson, who paraphrases Jesus' words like this. This is a time for joy and sharing the good news, not for clutching me as if I were some jealously guarded private dream come true. Stop clinging to me now, but go and tell my disciples. The resurrection stories invariably lead into a commissioning. The word of hope is given to be passed on, Williams writes. Having looked and listened, Mary is now commissioned to go and tell about resurrection life. How will you answer Jesus' word to go and tell this upside-down Easter? A post on social media, a phone call to a friend. In these dark days, remember you have hope that people are more than ready to hear about. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. Whatever the circumstances, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in me, you get life in all its fullness. Gerard Kelly writes, because he is risen, a fire burns in my bones, and my eyes see possibilities, and my heart hears hope like a whisper on the wind, and the song that rises in me will not be silenced as life disrupts this shadowed place of death. Like a butterfly under the skin, and death itself runs terrified to hide, because he is risen. With Mary, we look, we listen, and we live this Easter Sunday. But above all, Mary's resurrection encounter says we must love. It's love that gives Mary the courage to overcome fear and go in the dark to a tomb. It's love that gives her the strength to confront the gardener. And in her absolute joy at seeing the risen Jesus, it's love that helps her not to selfishly hold on to him, but to go and proclaim resurrection life. As we sit safe in our separate homes tonight, it's love that binds us together. 1 Corinthians 13:7. There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, its endurance. So this upside down Easter, may you, with Mary, look and listen and live and love. May you hear the voice of Jesus call you by name, and may you go and share his good news, all because he is risen. We praise and we thank you, God, and together we say, Amen. Dan's going to lead us in a song now that doesn't shy away from bringing our agonies to God, but says that whilst we wait for him, we'll worship. If there's anything at all that we can be praying for you, or if you have any questions, just type in the comments along with this stream and we'll get back to you. Happy upside down Easter from all of us at West Kirby URC. God bless.